This is a Pinball News production.
Hello, everybody. How many of you were at the tour today?
Yesterday.
How many were at the tour today? That's the first question. Most of you got it wrong. You raised your hands. Okay, I got one. How many were there yesterday? All right, let me do this easier. Who wasn't there? Okay, let's talk to you guys. You missed a great day, I understand, and I did too. And please sometime come by and see what we're doing. We're very, very proud of what we've done, what our people have done. This is Dave Peterson. He's my partner. For those of you who were not at the tour, you didn't get to meet him yet, please meet him today. Say hello. He's become quite a pinball guy. He's complaining. He only has four pinball machines in his basement now. He had five. Of course, before he became my partner, he had none. So he's become interested. The bug has bit him, as it has many of us. That's how we keep people interested in this business, by the way. We get them interested in the product that we make, the games that we all play. I thank you all for coming out and hearing us. We're just going to chat a very little bit because, first of all, sometime shortly after this, we have a little event, and Jack Danger will be playing and telecasting on Twitch. Is the first time anybody has played in public our Game of Thrones limited edition. This is a great game. The Pro is a great game. The Premium will be a great game. It's a limited edition, and I am limited. I live in a small apartment. I am taking a pro home because I'm not allowed to have a limited edition. And because the premiums won't be for a while, and because my phone is ringing on my leg, so I was trying to find it.
Need to talk to Joanna?
I got a bunch of them to talk to. This Jody is probably trying to find out if we're here. Are you here? Hi, Jody.
Yeah,
why are you calling me? Okay. Any event, so we're going to chat just a little bit. We'll take questions about anything except what our next games are. Those are the normal rules. I don't know what you all want to hear us talk about. You've heard me before. How many of you have heard me drivel on before? So everybody. So you all know my beer stories, and by the way, they do have 9.5% alcohol beer at the bar in the Italian restaurant here, which you know is something that is dear to my heart, as is grown-up water. We have all this set. Remember, the game business originally came from bars, and it seems to be, besides going back to you guys, it's going back to bars. We are in barcades is our newest type of venue, and we see more and more of them open. My daughter last night, I was in trying to get back here, so I was in Frankfurt, and she emailed me about a new barcade opening up in Los Angeles, which is the games there. Molly just told me that she's helping Jim Basito with those games. This is east part of L.A., so I'm very anxious to go out there and see it with an excuse to go see my daughter. She keeps me advised of what's going on there. As I said, we'll take questions. I don't know how much you guys want to hear. You've heard the history before. I've got questions already. The history before, you've heard our philosophy before, what we're trying to do. I'm watching them set up games. We all probably want to finish this quickly so we can play games and drink beer. So we will take a few questions. I would just mention, again, as I always do, that we have to service all of the pinball customer base that there is, the three different segments that we have identified, and that includes you as a very important part, our enthusiasts and collectors. It includes game operators and their players, which are mostly casual players in bars and what have you, and it includes what we call rec room buyers, which are those people who may not be collectors like you, but still want to have a game at home, either because it's fun to play or it makes a statement in art form, it's furniture, whatever it might be. They played it when they were 20 and they're now 50 and they want to play it. What's very important to me is to see these barcades with young newbies playing pinball machines, and it's very important that we have games on the street. Did you guys take some of your tournaments and go to your, this is my pitch you hear every time, go to your local bar, tell that that bar owner that if he gets his operator put games in there, you'll put seats in the stools. That's a phrase in the bar business from which I once came. And we need games on the street so that we can continue to have games be in the public eye and therefore remain to be collectible. If we don't have games on the street, people won't be interested in them 20 or 30 years from now. It's just like collecting cars. People collect cars, not horse and buggies, because cars are still current. And they collect cars that are from when they were 20 or 30 years old. They collect 70s and 80s cars. The guys who are interested in Model T cars, Model T Fords, are dead. So they're not, you know, really interested. They're not around to buy the cars. So we need to have pinballs become still topical. We do, and other people do, a lot of publicity, a lot of social networking, a lot of news and media contacts to keep making pinball more and more in the public eye. We need to keep it in the public and players' eye. So you guys got to help do that so that you can continue with your collections. You got to help yourself. It's self-help.
You got a bunch of questions out here.
I got questions?
Yeah, you got people
raising. Okay, let's do questions, either for Dave or me. Tell us who it is. Dave can answer questions. He knows everything I know.
No.
Everything I know from about 2009.
And so I guess you can take this in turn. Both of you probably have something to say about it. In the tour, we saw first real hard evidence that you're making that serious play in the accessories business, stuff in the $10 to $500 price range, which I think is an interesting thing that I haven't seen any coin-op factory ever go into before. So, and I read the article in Play Meter about your plans for branching out in different directions, but could you comment particularly on what your hopes are for that accessories business?
You can see from this factory that you guys saw, which we're very proud of. You were in our factory last year. It was 40,000 square feet. This factory is 110,000 square feet. We have and we intend to continue to grow this business. And we continue to be about everything pinball. Our business will be based on pinball. That includes accessories, a very important part. And we can make licensed accessories. We can make KISS toppers that are licensed and have the actual KISS logo. Everything pinball would includes events and plenty of future plans, things to do in the future. But the commitment to build that factory and so that we can grow in it indicates that we are committed to the continuation and growth of this business. We've said before, three new cornerstone or major models a year in Pro, LE, and maybe Premium. You see also that we do a Vault Edition once in a while, that being a game we had made before, just like Disney pulls out of the vault, we're going to pull out of the vault. We did this with Iron Man. I almost said Iron Maiden. Did I see an Iron Maiden back there, or was that at a different show? I think that might have been in Brussels.
That was Molly raising her hand.
Yeah, and well, that was okay. That was good, Dave.
Yeah, like she did.
Yeah, we do a studio game. If somebody else brings us a game, so we're going to do those, and that would be a Whoa Nelly is an example of studio game. We do manufacturing for other people, Like the other pinball people, at least we've done this once in a row now, and that's the Medieval Madness remake game. We intend, with accessories, parts, everything that is pinball about pinball, so we can grow this business and continue pinball for all of us. We have three major models a year. We have to continue to have multiple models so that this business continues and grows for all of us.
Well, I mean, you asked about the accessories business, and we just kicked it off this year. And the idea is that we want to build stuff that is licensor compliant, so it's consistent with what our licensors want us to do in terms of protecting their brands. And the other part of it is that we want to have stuff that is unique, meaning that is integrated with gameplay. So I don't know if all of you have seen the mock-up of the Game of Thrones topper, but it's animated, and same thing with the Kiss topper. And so to the extent we can add to the gameplay experience, that's the kind of stuff we want to do. And then on the accessory side of the business, we'll also, to the extent it makes sense, we'll partner with third parties and who have got better ideas than we do, and we can bring their product to the market and also make sure that they're consistent and licensed or approved. And so we just kicked off that business this year. It's been a huge success for us so far. It's actually exceeding expectations. And so, again, but we'll continue to be very consistent with what we do in that business, in that we have to do things that are unique and that only we can do. And we'll leave it open for other people to come in and accessorize games. But that's a big market, and that's a big market in other industries, and all we're doing is basically following up with what are people, you know, customers like you guys tell us. Here's what we want. So that's what we're trying to do. And hopefully we can keep all the prices reasonable. That's really important.
Now, from this, you can see that Dave didn't come in here just as an investor. He has contributed to this business. This is an area that he understands, that he's championed, and we're committed to it, and Dave's committed to it, and we're committed to the growth of this business all around, both of us together.
Gary, question from like 1999 and earlier, what are your top five favorite games?
My top what?
Five favorite games.
Pre-99.
I'm not going to, we've made a lot of games before 99 and since 99. You all know that my current favorite game is Game of Thrones. Not and normally I say that because that's what we're building. I go out on the line, see what we're building, and whatever it is, I wouldn't make it if we didn't like it. This is really a special game. I mean, Kiss is a great game. All these games, we have a full library of games we continue to make. And I have to say that Game of Thrones is, I really, really enjoy it, a special point. But pre-99, there's a lot of games that go a lot farther back, and I get old enough that I don't remember at all. But I always have to mention Flight 2000, and I'm not going to give you five. I'm going to give you, Flight 2000, which was Harry's game, and I certainly liked a number of Steve Kirk's games that we made in that era. Being Meteor and Nine Ball and what have you, Stars. Everybody talks about Stingray. We made a lot of drop target games in that period, in the old Stern days. Pre-99 is new Stern and old Stern, so there's just a lot of games in that. You know, you're really talking, if you go back to my start at Williams when I was 2 years old, there's a lot of games. I'm 70 now, so there's 68 years of games, less 14 or 15 years. Too many games, but that's a few that I'll throw out there. Dave, what's your favorite game right now?
Game of Thrones. Steve's game, Game of Thrones.
There you go. Another salesman has sat down at the table. Any other questions?
Would you consider vaulting? Early on, or only in the last handful of years?
Yes. Yes, we would consider it. Pardon me? We're considering all the time, all the different games that we might make. I am told that some of the old Stern games, are in more favor today than maybe they were then. But then there's a lot of games. I can mention a couple Willie games that are in more favor today than then. I was just playing Radical the other day, which is, now it's fun, but then that game was didn't go anywhere in the market. So tastes change. So you know, we consider a lot. We consider everything.
I know you came out about a year ago with Le Pimp. Is that a market dead out there? Or do you want to make another Le Pimp, the small one?
You want to do this?
Yeah, sure.
No, I think the short answer is yes. We are going to continue to develop that market. That game is really designed for, again, not for this audience, but rather for entry level people. And the whole idea is that we want to design a game that is simpler. Most of the games that are designed today, if you're a novice or a newbie, are intimidating. I mean, you come up to them, you put their money in, and within a minute, you're done, and most people are embarrassed by those type of games. And so the whole concept of the pin is that we're addressing a new market, and it's really a much different market. We want to have a lower price point, simpler gameplay, and the idea is that we want to attract more people into the business, because if we don't bring more people into pinball, then obviously pinball is just going to die a natural death the way that a lot of other businesses have and a lot of other games have. One of the fascinating things about what's going on in pinball today is that millennials are discovering it for the first time. This whole barcade thing is amazing in terms of what's going on. I mean, when we look at the data on our Facebook page, it's amazing how young the audience is that follows us on Facebook. And that's fantastic. And I have three daughters. The oldest one's 24, the youngest one's 16, and they had never been exposed to pinball before I got involved with Gary in this venture, and now we have, as Gary was saying, we are an official test site for Stern Pinball, and so I've got, you know, I have a number of games in the basement which I never had before meeting Gary, and they love them. And what's really cool is that all their friends love them. And so they'll come over and they'll hang out in the basement and they're playing pinball. And again, this is something that's completely new to them because they've never been exposed to it. And so they kind of know what pinball is, but then they play the game and they're going like, oh my gosh, this is so much fun. And again, they never get very far into the games. And when you get deep into the games the way that, you know, this audience does, I mean, what pinball does is amazing. And so the pin is all part of a strategy in order to broaden the market all over the world and revamp it. So we are absolutely going to continue down that path. So you'll see more from us.
And as we broaden the market all over the world, when Dave first came around and he talked to his friends and they said, they still make pinball? But we do make pinball, and there are pinball out there. We're getting more and more pinballs being seen. We're in barcades. We're doing a lot of social media and a lot of regular media so that we can introduce pinball to more people, just as our entry-level game will. As Dave points out, they have to be able to play and have fun playing them, not just be frustrated. So we have to have something in our games, especially our pro games that are in the street, to interest casual players so they have fun and don't just walk away, not just frustrate them. And back to the barcades, and Molly standing over there playing with a game. She has a unique location in 82, and the what's unique about it that I find so special, we have a white, mostly male sport. Okay? And the world is not going to be white male. First of all, it's half not male to start with. It's not going to be just white male forever, for very much longer. The majority is going to be other ethnic groups. We look at other businesses. Harley Davidson is trying to get women interested in motorcycles and have garage nights for women at dealerships. They have interested Afro-Americans in at their events, their international events. They have clubs from all over the world there, so that they're not just white male. It's going to be, otherwise we have a shrinking market. The boating industry, and I have a boat, I read that they're trying to get more non-whites involved in boating. The same thing has to happen here. Now, why I mentioned Molly is her Barcade 82 is the most fascinating location I've been to because of the ethnic mix of people that are there. It's in the arts district of Los Angeles. It certainly has white males. It has, in one corner, it's got the models, the women models over, and she points out which games they're all hanging out at. She did that the other night, a couple months ago, when I was there. But they also have, I met a young Mexican restaurant owner who had just bought his first couple games, one game or two games, and he was into it. I met some Asians there that were playing pinball, partly because she promotes the games and promotes tournaments. She's got her iPad out there and, you know, walks up. My kids were there with me, my daughter and son-in-law, and she put them right in a tournament. All of a sudden, they're non-players that were playing tournament. She promotes and all that, and she has a broad mix of players there, and it's really important that we have more games on the street and a broader group of people interested in it. If we keep narrowing down to just this small ethnic mix, we will ultimately shrink away. Thank you, Molly.
A question over here.
Go ahead.
Kind of related to what you just said, I work in IT and work directly with people in India, and I tell them I'm coming up to Pinball Expo or Texas Pinball Festival, and I'll show them pictures of my games, and they've never seen a pinball machine before. India, Germany?
India, okay. Couple things on India. First of all, the economics are very difficult for new games. Most of the games, there are arcades and so forth being introduced there, and in particular by a company called Time Zone, which is a part of LAI, an Australian and Singapore company. The operation is run by an Indian gentleman, Sanal. And he is just starting a barcade concept there, in fact, but most of their, with pinball machines. Most of their games are going to be used or inexpensive Chinese-made games right now. It's part of the economy there. They don't know pinball. There is a sports bar chain called Underdog, and it's got a couple of NBA pinball machines in it. I don't know how much they get played or how much they earn. Part of the problem of introducing pinball to somewhere like India, besides the economics, is there's no history of pinball. We can go to the Eastern Bloc countries and where they might have had pinball once and get pinball started there. We are very interested in getting pinball started in China. Everybody wants to play in the Chinese market because it's so big. But it's very hard in any of these markets to get pinball started. In the Middle East, we sell games in Dubai, and they're distributed in Virgin record stores, mega stores, for sale to homeowners, often airline pilots from other countries that are there. It's just hard. India's a hard market to get it started in. They haven't seen pinball, and they don't know it. We're trying. We're not ready to really go there with an expansive pinball concept because of the economy of running games in India. been there a couple times, tried to put our toes in the water.
You know, the Chinese are so enthralled by their basketball players, maybe that's the way to promote football for them.
The Chinese are certainly enthralled with our basketball players, and we did make a version of our NBA. The reason we really started to make NBA and made it for the U.S. was we really wanted it for China. We thought, oh, Yao Ming, we need Yao Ming. Well, Yao Ming at the time was the 10th largest seller of jerseys. Kobe was number one at the time. They have... NBA has an office in Beijing and an office in Singapore. I've been to both of them. It didn't work because the market wasn't ready for it. There's a trend now from away from just arcades to some attempted street games, a lot of darts, and some more grown-up games. And so we may have a chance, but you can't ship pinball machines or finished product to China. You have to find somebody to partner with that will build it. We're looking at new markets for pinball and at expanding the current markets for pinball.
You said before, I think a couple years ago or something, you're pretty much doing nothing but license and, you know, movies and stuff. You ever can you bring back like a
Hot Hand? No, that was an interesting choice. That was a very interesting choice. Harry Williams did Hot Hand. And Hot Hand, for those of you who don't know, was a card theme game. And it had the big flipper up at the center that went around in a circle and would knock balls out of little holes, you know, that were the, you know, the... It was a routed hole, not your typical eject, and it had a leaf switch with a bent part, you know, so the ball just fell on the switch. And Harry said to me, he says, "Oh, the kids are going to love this game." Now, the market was a little different at that time, and I put my arm around Harry, and I said, "That's great. I'm really happy, but... really, our job is to get people drunk and keep them drunk, because our games were in bars in those days. And with that, I'll have a little bit more vodka. But somebody asked, would we make any of the old pre-99 games? And yes, we might even make some of the old Stern Electronics games. I'm not sure Hot Hand would be the first choice for that, but I did like that game. What about Laser War? That was our first game. Hi, everybody. Hi back there. Hi. Hello to the Belts, and hello to Shelley. And, but, you know, boy, I barely see back that far. Hi, Lyman.
Question back there.
Yes, man. Yes, sir. What about what?
Time Machine.
That's another good choice. Where's Joe? Where's Joe when we need him? He was here earlier. Time Machine's a good game. That was one of Joe's efforts. Yeah, Sea Witch is in, you know, yes. We made drop target games in those days. It was a different world, the type of games we made. And any casual player could figure out what to do, hit the drop targets, and they spelled something or did something. In Italy, first of all, I was at the European Pinball Championship in Belgium, where Lyman came in second in the European Championship. Even I don't know why they let him play. He's not a European. Thank you. Very nice, Lyman. It was exciting. And then I was at EAS, the European Amusement Show. It's a IAPA, the park show in Sweden. And then I was at the show in Rome, the Annata show in Rome. The first two shows, we had we had many games at all of them, but we had Kiss and Game of Thrones Pro in Italy, the commercial market there, and they were selling Kiss, so we had Kiss there. We had Wonelli. They had a tournament going there. We had WrestleMania. We had the tournament. I also had Star Trek. It had The Walking Dead, Mustang. I'm probably missing something of the ones they had there in the tournament. So we've shown, you know, we've got, you know, we're sort of like a Chinese menu, one from column A, two from column B. Right now, we have a few Metallica left. You guys are going to help me back there. We've got Mustangs in various configurations, actually just pro. We've got WrestleMania. We've got The Walking Dead. We're making some more Star Trek because there's a demand for it. Kiss Pro and Premium. And certainly Game of Thrones. Did I leave something out? Whoa, Nelly. Iron Man, we're sold out of. If you can find one from somebody, grab it. Pardon? Yes, but those are sold from us. They're all ordered. We're sold out. You know, we. Any other questions? Does somebody want to drink beer or something like that instead? Oh, no, we got questions. More questions. All right. They want to drink beer. Any more questions? No questions, right? Just
no,
beer?
You got one.
No, okay. Yes, sir. Okay, you're asking how we get licenses? Yeah. Okay, first of all, Gary, please. Mr. Stern was either my father or when I was a kid, the dog's name actually was Mr. So Mr. Stern was a schnauzer. Okay? How do we get licenses? Jody and I work very hard. We go to licensing shows. Jody has good relationships with the music industry because those of you who had dinner with him tonight would know that he was artist relations with one of the guitar companies and had his own amplifier company prior there too. Did I get that right?
Yep.
Yeah. We have relationships with the all the movie companies from doing this for a lot of years. Let's see, it'll be 30 years next year that this company's been making pinball machines, and almost all of them licensed. So we've been doing it for a while. We have relationships with them. They contact us, or we contact them. We, you know, we're watching, you know, news blips of what's, you know, what's hot and so forth. Yes.
The three tiers of machines, Pro, Premium, and Family.
Yes, it's staying. We make a Pro and an LE, sometimes a Premium. Different, you know, as I said, we have three different market segments. One size doesn't fit all. The Pro for operators, maybe for general homeowners. The limited edition for enthusiast collectors. And the Premium sometimes for people who want all the full features and gameplay of the limited edition, but aren't really collectors, don't need a numbered game, and maybe a few less art eye candy. Well, I think we got one more question, and then we'll...
Can you briefly discuss your partnership with RSI Studios? Is that anyone can have its own official app, you know,
Yeah, that's a great partnership. We've been working with Farsight for the last 3 or 4 years, partly just to test it out and see how it worked out. And then we recently expanded the partnership, so we changed it into more of a joint venture, because one of the things we've seen by working with them is that they give us reach into areas that we don't have currently. And I think that what they do has been integral to building awareness about pinball and also just the whole resurgence of pinball. The internet obviously gives you great reach that you can't get physically. And so with them, we have a whole slate of games, basically, that we intend to work with them and try to get to market as quickly as possible so that people can be exposed to our games on the internet. And again, it's not the same experience. But we also have some things in the work that are really exciting, that beyond what we're doing with those guys, and that's going to be very, you know. So, but we're going to continue to leverage the internet, because when you do that, one of the things we want to get past is all of you understand what pinball is because you're into pinball. But there's a whole portion of the world that has still. When I talk to them and say, well, what are you doing? Well, I'm helping to, you know, rebuild pinball and blah, blah, blah. And they'll go like, they still make those things? And we still get that constantly. I mean, it's just astounding. The other day we had the guys in from Pinball Universe out of Germany, and they were visiting the factory on Wednesday before the tour. And they went out and had dinner or had lunch at, like, Portillo's, which is right down the street from our plant. And they ran into a bunch of people, and they had their, you know, they had their shirts on that said Pinball Universe. And they go, oh, you guys into pinball? And they go, like, yeah, we're visiting the Stern factory right down here. And they go, oh, they still make those things? So, I mean, again, there's a whole part of the world that just still thinks that pinball's over. And pinball's not over. I mean, we're just starting. And so harnessing the power of the internet and being able to get our games out there and show, again, millennials and even, you know, younger than that, what pinball is all about will only help perpetuate pinball and grow it. And we're seeing that. I mean, the whole market's growing, you know, and it's great. It's great to see, and it's exciting, and we're going to continue to do that kind of stuff.
And when Dave says, you know, we're just starting, that factory that you guys saw, and Dave and Mike O'Donnell, our CFO, found it and, you know, did all the arrangements and the leasing and made the deal that we could get it, but they found this place. That commitment to that growth indicates that we are going to grow this business. We're here to stay with it. We're going to make it bigger and bigger and better with your help. With that, I think Dave and I would like to say thank you very much. Enjoy Game of Thrones. Wait a little bit and play the limited edition. And if Jody's back there, you guys ready?
No, keep talking.
We need to keep talking. So
keep talking?
So we'll take more questions.
10 minutes. Okay. Anybody else for 10 minutes, or do I just got to sit up here and gargle or vodka or something? I've done that before.
We'll take more questions.
Yeah.
Anybody have more questions?
Here you go.
Oh, that's a great question.
All right, here. Yeah.
I'll take it. So the question was, which segment of the market is growing the most? For us, again, all of our segments are growing. I don't know if I can quantify which segment's growing the most because, again, you know, our LE and premium games, which are primarily targeted for the enthusiast and collector market for you folks, we continue to sell more and more of those. So that's growing. And then also our pro model, which is really targeted for operators for the most part, that continues to grow too. I'm not sure I can quantify, you know, But the good news is that it's all growing. And same thing with, we talked earlier about the pin. You know, that's a market that, again, is completely untapped. You know, we still haven't quite figured out the product for that market, but we're really close. And the next generation of that product, which we'll bring out next year, we think we kind of got it figured out now in terms of what the market wants. And again, that product is not for this group. That's not for that product is not designed for the enthusiast collector market. That's designed for newbies and for people that just want to really have a pinball game in their house and they don't want to spend too much for it and they want it to work and they want it to be reliable and they want it to be easy maintenance. And they're not going to have 15 games. They're going to have one game. And our hope, what's that? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, that probably specialty retail will be the channel for that. And but again, our hope is that we can get more people into becoming collectors, enthusiasts like all of you guys. And that's what we're trying to do. Yes, sir.
of the reasons operators got out was there was a lot of maintenance.
Yeah.
Less maintenance, you know, our games are much less maintenance than they were 10 and 20 years ago. A lot of operators remember games from years ago from ourselves and our competitors, especially with the spike system. There's many improvements with the spike system, even as simple as no ballast and fluorescent tube. There's all kinds of diagnostics in it. We certainly beefed up our parts. Where our games are are pretty damn reliable, even on the street right now. Now, that's just a start. The spike system is scalable, it will communicate through the cloud. It will tell operators what's going on. Ultimately, we'll get there with that in the reasonably near future. It will also do social networking for players. It will download code. There's all kinds of things we'll be able to do, and we're starting to work with on that system, making the game even simpler to operate and more reliable. Certainly the operators, complaint is that it's not a touchscreen game like a Merit that you put on location and you don't have to do anything to it ever. But today you put a Merit touchscreen game on location and nobody plays it because everybody's got their touchscreen game in their pocket. So they need a mechanical game, something a little different like we have. We have made it significantly more reliable, and it's just a start. Anybody else? Oh, yes. What, a game that I wish we hadn't built?
Great question.
Yeah, thank you, Dave. We didn't build, but we had Shelley help me. Shelley, King Kong? Was it King Kong? Which was the one that Jerry did? King Kong, right? We made three? No, we made one. We made just a few. It had a ramp that was somewhat higher than the Andes, and then you had to jump off that ramp into the next ramp, and we never made it. Other than that, I can't think anything that we made that we shouldn't have made, or that was a mistake, or what have you. Some worked out better than others, but mostly we shot the things that we shouldn't have made.
Anything else?
Yeah.
When I was wearing Kiss makeup. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Here you go.
Oh, Jesus. You'll never see this. I don't think I can do this.
No, you're not going to be able to show them that. But tell them about it.
Okay. So the makeup was like 3 hours, 3.5 hours. I don't know if this is particularly funny, but it was three and a half hours. But then, and then they took the pictures. And I'll show you this. I'll be happy to show any of this later. But then I had to go downtown. So I got in my convertible outside the factory, and I start to go downtown, and somebody takes a picture of me leaving the factory, sent it to my daughter, Lindsay, who put it up on her Facebook page. Now, within about 5 minutes, I'm getting frantic calls from Jody, because Lindsay Stern's Facebook page has nothing to do with this industry, but somebody is following my daughter's Facebook page because it now had hit social media, and nobody knew. There was no, you guys might have thought, but we hadn't announced Kiss. So now it's in social media. Somebody had picked it up, and Jody was trying to keep it all quiet, so he was frantic. So now the phone calls go out. It took him about another 10 minutes to get it pulled down. Meanwhile, I'm driving downtown, people taking pictures of me on the highway. I go pick up my motorcycle, get rid of my car and somewhere to go, stop at the gas station. There's pictures of me filling up my gas with it, checking my boat in the harbor, and going to the yacht club in order to watch the Blackhawks play. I think it was the Blackhawks. Why were the Blackhawks playing? There was the Blackhawks playing. Yeah, the Blackhawks play. So it all it grew a life of its own. But basically, the big problem was my daughter Lindsay had put it up on her Facebook page, and they had to get it down. And frantic calls everywhere about it. But by the way, I almost caused a few accidents because going down the highway, from O'Hare Airport to downtown, I'm waving at people and they're taking pictures and everything. And I got, I'm in a convertible. It was, very attractive. Okay. Jody.
Okay. 2 minutes.
2 minutes?
One more question.
Somebody come up. Oh, yes. Pardon me? Encouraging women. How do we encourage more women? Well, one of the things is that we certainly like to see women at events like this. We'd like to see more women involved in tournaments. There are women leagues that should be... where's Zach? That should be allowed to be part of the IFPA. We need to support women like Harley or the boating industry or a lot of other people are trying to do. What are we doing? We're trying to encourage the league people or whatever to include women into their not keep them separate, but to allow their competition to be included.
Yeah, I think that's it. And again, I look out here, and again, it's the first time I've ever sat up here. I'm actually amazed at how many women are here. I mean, which is great, and also non-whites. I mean, again, just I'm as white as they get, and it's great to
Swedish.
Yeah, it's great to to see that there's a. It's more diverse than I would have thought. Okay, I think we're done.
Thank you all very much. We appreciate your attention. Drink some beer, play some pinball, and you're going to love this game.